So much love, Walker Harbor Church. Here we are once again. And we are in a series called The Things We Carry, and we're wrapping it up with this teaching. And this Sunday, we will gather in the evening, 6 p.m. at Mount Olive. Outdoors, we'll find some shade, so look for us in the shade. We'll have some fantastic food to eat, donation-based, so we'll have some folks serving food, and then we'll gather, we'll sing a little bit, and we'll spend some time around this teaching, this story, and what it means for you and I today, and we'll interact with it. So it'll be beautiful, so I look forward to that. So this series, The Things We Carry, we began with this ancient people who walked around in a desert for 40 years carrying a box. And there are three very specific items in this box, which can seem odd. So what we did the first 2 weeks is we looked at the first two items in the box and why they carried those. A golden jar of manna, which is kind of like a bread, a flaky type of item you eat. And it was about sustenance. It was about daily provision in which the divine provided. Then there was a stick, was the second item, a stick. Specifically a staff, but a stick that had sprouted, budded, bloomed, and produced almonds, fruit. And that represented a kind of leadership, like honoring the leadership that will be guiding, leading the people forward. It was stunning. And today, the third item in the box, a couple of stone tablets. Not like iPad tablets, but not digital, stone tablets. That's what this one is. So we, of course, as we step into this, we need to step into this in a contextual way of peering into the Bible. Then we're going to tie some clouds together, and then we'll finally ask what this all looks like for us in the here and now. Why does this matter for us? So let's dig in. The setting is the Hebrew people, ancient Hebrew people who have been rescued from 400 years of being enslaved in Egypt. 400 years in which every day, all day, they simply make bricks to build storehouses for the massive wealth of the empire of their day, Egypt. That's the Hebrew life. You do not get a day off. Your sole value and worth is found in making bricks so that other people can live in comfort and excess. You and your people have no identity other than slave. Now, in their weeping and mourning and crying out, the divine hears. In an act of compassion, and I would say love beyond our imagination, the divine rescues the Hebrew people. And then they are led out of Egypt into the Sinai Desert without any semblance of how to function in community. They have no idea how to do this. They literally just would wake up, make bricks, go to bed. They don't know how to do communal life, how to interact with people. They didn't have to do any of that civil kind of way of being. So imagine this. They're now being led out into the desert. They come to them, the foot of Mount Sinai, to listen, to learn. And that takes us to Exodus, the book of Exodus, Genesis, Exodus in the Hebrew scriptures, Genesis or Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 6. Then Moses, their leader, Moses went up to God and the Lord, that is, when it's a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, when you see that, it's basically the one who rescues. That's what it would, it's a way of looking at. And the Lord called to him, Moses, from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, another name for the Hebrew people, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. That's who they will become. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you, that is you all, on eagle's wings and brought you to where? Myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, this relational bond we have, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Key words there. Because, we'll keep going. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests. That's a whole group of people. A kingdom of priests. You will function as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words, Moses, you are to speak to the Israelites. This is stunning. Because these words, especially treasured possession, they're like the tender whisper of a groom to his bride. It's essentially, I am yours and you are mine. You then, as a people, will shine the light of love to the whole world. So then Moses takes this message and he's going to go back to the people and essentially, listen to this, get their response. What is your response to this marriage proposal? Because that's what this is, a marriage proposal. What is your response, people? Exodus chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. It's essentially this, we do, we will, we are yours. Giddy up. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. The second half of verse 8. So Moses brought their answer, took this, we will, we do, answer back to the Lord. This is the frame for what comes next. This is the framing of what comes next. For a text, the next text we'll look at, so many people have heard it, yet I would argue that our Western American Christianity has so badly misapplied this whole next thing, which we know as the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, but we're going to condense it a bit, keep it sharp here. And God spoke all these words again to all the people. I am the Lord your God. I'm the rescuer. I'm the divine rescuer who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Just me then. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. You shall not misuse the name, and that means a whole range of things, the reputation of the Lord your God. Don't misrepresent, misuse the reputation of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the day of Sabbath rest to the Lord. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Do not covet. Now, these Ten Commandments, this is really important, are simply a starting line for life. They're a trampoline for springing into life. They are not a finish line or the goal to strive for. I just hope I can live up to this. No, no, no. It's the baseline for being human. It's how to move towards functioning as a community of people, a tribe, a nation. It's just moving. It's starting and moving in that direction. It's not a goal. We don't pin it to the wall and say, I hope I can do that. No, if you can't, like, at the end of the day, I didn't kill somebody today. Woo! I'm amazing. No, it's like, well, if you kill people, that's you behaving less than human because you're treating someone else as expendable, as less than human. There is all kinds of stunningness here, but it's just a starting point. That's the thing. It's the divine meeting people here in their lack, in their nothingness, in their brokenness, in their pain, in their suffering, in their cries, in their hunger and thirst for a real life. And the divine meets them here. And then what is the brand new revolutionary message that they hear? You all are deeply loved, right where you are, as you are. Just receive this love. Then, now, see your neighbor as human, as gift, as friend, not as competitor, threat, or enemy. With that, we're going to bounce to how Jesus steps into the sweat and blood of humanity. And then, so how does Jesus do this? That's part one, if you will. Then we'll look at what he comes proclaiming. So here's how. The book of Matthew, chapter 5, Matthew writing to a Jewish audience who would get this. We're going to do a condensed version of what is often known as the Beatitudes or the blessings. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, condensed. Now, when Jesus saw all these people gather, saw the crowds, he did what? He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Whoa. Jesus goes up on a mountain and sits before a gathered community that is hungry and thirsty for life. Where have we seen this scene before? Yeah, brilliant. Jesus is the new Moses. Jesus is Moses 2.0, the updated version. Here we go, but upgraded, updated, relevant to you here in front of you, these people. That's how he does, like how Matthew frames how Jesus comes in order to help the people go, oh, like that. Oh, it's Moses coming, and oh, it's that scene that back there, but updated. Now, what does Jesus come proclaiming? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the singularly focused in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of right living. Friends, can you hear it? Can you see what's being said here? Here we go again. What is it? You are deeply loved. Right where you are, as you are, receive this love. Now see your neighbor as human, as gift, as friend, not as competitor, threat, or enemy. Yeah, here it is. Now the thing from here that over and over Jesus will simply do from here is say, follow me as I embody this and model this. I'm going to show you, walk out for you, what this looks like. This is the beginning of life. It's a starting point. You in this will experience transformation, and then you will in turn offer this invitation to others. Beautiful, right? Okay, now some talk of this, both the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes, some simply think of this as like good spirituality. But Jesus saw this more as geography. Watch, because he was announcing where the divine dwells. Then he says where those who will follow him, follow Jesus, will also be found with those who have been left out and looked down on. So he's saying we are met in our pain, and then we move towards those in the deepest and darkest of pain because we've been met in our pain and we've been loved right in the midst of all of it. Yep. So it's not about memorizing or perfecting rules. It's about saying yes to the divine love that can't be earned, it can't be bought, it can't be won. It's received. Then we simply extend this same love to others. All others. And in extending this love to others is not contingent on them joining a religious club, paying some dues. It's not about them memorizing a list of ideas about the divine. It's all a free gift. It's grace. Which means, now here's what this means for us, whether or not we gather in a large setting one day a week, the Walker community should be experiencing the profound, soul-shifting love of the divine. Why? Why would they be experiencing this? Because you are meeting people in cubicle land. You're meeting them in the break room, in the factory, the classroom, your literal next-door neighbor. And you are modeling and sharing the divine love that has met you right where you are. You then offer that to all of these people right where they are. That happens regardless of whether or not we have a weekly gathering, which then means when we have a larger gathering, that gathering is simply a celebration of the love that is radically transforming and shaping all of us. So then we circle all the way back to the beginning. Why carry these tablets around in a box? And the tablets, what's on the tablets, by the way, these commandments, what we call the Ten Commandments, this invitation, the ten words is how they understood them in the Hebrew scriptures, and the Hebrew people understood them as 10 words spoken to them. They're written on the stone tablets. Why carry them around in a box? Well, why do I carry around where a wedding ring? Why do you keep that photo or that photo album? Yep, exactly. To remember that day, that moment, that experience, that beginning. That's why we carry the things we carry. It's a jolt to the heart that reminds us that the divine meets us right where we are, as we are. And that divine love is about restoration. It's restoring us. It's healing us. It's putting us back together. And then we meet others, all others, right where they are with that love. That heals, restores, transforms their heart. Right where they are. Just as they are. That's the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. So, Walker Harbor Church, I share this. I don't know if you picked up, but sometime as we started into this teaching, it began to rain. And I thought about stopping, and I don't know, the drops, they felt like grace. They just felt like gift. And I thought, no, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. Because I'll take that. There's something to that. It was doing something. It's gift. It's being met right where I am, in the heat, and in the thirst. Well, there was some water. It's a symbol of tears in the hurt and the pain, and they splash on you. They meet me right where I'm at. And now I'm invited to go from here, to close the computer and go out and meet others right where they are. Now, that's kind of what I experienced right here, right now, in the midst of this. Yeah, it strikes me. It's good. Now let's gather on Sunday, which may be today for you, and in the evening we'll share some food and we'll unpack this a bit more. Hear a story that kind of summarizes this whole thing. Walker Harbor Church, may you know the divine is meeting you right where you are, right here, right now, right where you are. No matter how you are, the divine is meeting you and offering and pouring out love that heals, that restores, that puts you back together, and then sends you into the community to pour out that same love to others. So may you, after this even, wherever you go, whoever you meet, may you offer them this profound, life-transforming love that has met you. May you offer that to them. Because that's just it. You do not do it alone. You do that because the grace and peace of Christ is with you, is in you, and will move through you. Amen.